Our reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, and you will find this in your pew Bibles on page 1173. And it's entitled Thanksgiving and Prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule in the heavenly realms, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
For the last few months, we have been learning from the prayers of our Lord Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, the one he modeled to his disciples in the upper room, but also the one that he taught them on the Sermon on the Mount. And now in this last part, last leg of our series, we're going to dip into the letter that Rose read this morning, just a part of it we read from the Apostle, written by the Apostle Paul from prison in Rome for the sake of the gospel to a church that he planted in Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. And while writing this letter, there's a picture here of Paul in his cell, prison cell, Paul puts down his pen on three occasions to pray. And we're going to reflect over the next month or so. We're going to look at those prayers. A prayer in chapter 1 that Rose read, a prayer in chapter 3, and a prayer in chapter 6. And these spirit-led prayers are recorded in this letter to the church in Ephesus. And we're going to reflect on them over the next four weeks. This morning, I want to give a brief summary of how the church in Ephesus came into existence. And then we're going to look at what motivated Paul's first prayer for the church family in Ephesus. So here's a picture of Paul's second missionary journey, and you can see the place of Ephesus on the map. So just a brief summary of just how that church came into being as a result of Paul's visit there during his second missionary journey. It's recorded in Acts chapter 19. The date is expected to be about 50 AD. Paul returned to Ephesus during his next missionary journey, staying there for a period of 3 years. And for two of those years, Paul engaged daily in discussion with Jews in a lecture hall about the Christian faith. And God was powerfully at work through those lectures. And revival broke out. And it was during those 3 years that a church was established and grew considerably. Later in Paul's third missionary journey, God led Paul to Rome. And en route, he met with the elders of the church of Ephesus. It was an emotional meeting because Paul indicated to them that they would not see each other again this side of heaven. And while imprisoned in Rome between 60 and 64 AD, Paul wrote this letter to the church, to the believers there. And this message in this letter was for them, but it's also for all God's people throughout history. A wonderful letter, which I'm sure has encouraged you in your Christian experience over the years. So that's a summary of how the church came into existence. We see how influential Paul had been in the birthing of the church, the growth of the church, the direction of the church, a bit like David and Ilsa over in Latvia. And because of Paul's great influence and involvement over the years, a very close, a strong bond had been forged between him and the fellowship of believers in Ephesus. That was what motivated, one of the reasons that motivated Paul's prayer for this fellowship of believers over 800 miles away from him in prison. He prayed for them because of the bond that he shared with them. Paul's close, strong bond with the Ephesian believers was seen in the fervent way that he gave thanks and he prayed when he heard about the spiritual progress of these believers. I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I remember you in my prayers. Paul prayed because of the bond that he shared with those believers in that church that he had planted. We see the importance of putting down roots in a church family, the importance of getting involved in the life and the fellowship and the service and the witness of the church. And through doing these things together, a close bond is forged. A concern for the spiritual well-being of others is nurtured. The closeness of the bond we have as believers will be revealed in the prayer life of the church, in our gathering to pray, in the way that we pray for each other. If we rarely gather to pray, if we rarely gather as a church, it's likely that the bond between believers within a church family will be weak and it will need to be strengthened. It's one of the reasons why we're starting our monthly fellowship lunches. It's a way of gathering us in a greater way. It's not just because we enjoy food. It's because we want to strengthen the links that we have as believers. It's what the early church did. It's important to have hospitality together. It's over these meals that God works, God strengthens. We hear things. We pray for one another. We have concerns. And so pray that these lunches, this is the second of these monthly lunches next week, that God works through that. God strengthens the bonds that we have with one another in a greater way. Paul's fervent prayer for the Ephesian believers, it was not only motivated because of the close bond or the concern that they had for each other, it was motivated by something else, Something indicated by the first three words that Paul expresses in verse 15. Words that probably didn't register in our minds. Certainly very easy to miss them. The words, "for this reason." For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. What was the reason for Paul's thanksgiving and prayer? Well, it relates to what Paul had been writing about, what God had been revealing to him in verses 3 to 14. Paul's prayer was motivated by the word of God. It's a lesson to us that our prayer, in our praying, it shouldn't merely be led by circumstances or needs of our lives or impulses or feelings, but by the things that God reveals to us in his word. And that was George Mueller. We've spoken about him, who founded these orphanages in Bristol many years ago. That was his daily pattern. He was responsible in the end for about 10,000 of them. He didn't have any resources himself. All he had was what he prayed in, depending upon his father to provide. And aware of that need every day, you would have thought he could have just woken up and said, "God, meet our needs." But that wasn't how he began the day. He began each day by reading a chapter in the Old Testament and a chapter in the New Testament. And so it continued all the way through his life. He finished the Bible and then he began again. And his prayers for himself, his prayers for the needs of the thousands of orphans under his care, it flowed out of what he had been reading that morning about God, about his character, about God's will, about God's workings, about God's promises. And God's word, it directed his prayers. It gave him great assurance, gave him great boldness in his prayers. And as he expressed those God-inspired, God-directed prayers, God gave him great answers to prayer. And God's word can do the same for us. It's living and powerful. According to Mueller, a further practical benefit of prayer flowing from the scripture is that you're never short of things to pray for. And it frees us from the rut often of praying the same way and using the same words, because we're reading a different portion of scripture each day and it's leading us and guiding us and directing us in a different way. And tonight in our church prayer meeting, we're going to model something of that. We're going to be basing our prayer time on one of the Psalms, Psalm number 21. So Paul's prayer was motivated by the word of God. And it's so important for our prayers to be motivated by the word of God. Well, what had he been reading? What had he been reflecting on which spurred him to pray? Verses 3 to 14 reveal a wonderful theme, no greater theme for us, for believers to reflect on. All the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. You could call it the Magnificent Eight. Arashi is eight. This week, this is a magnificent eight. And it's not exhaustive, really, as far as the spiritual blessings are concerned. I want to remind you of them. Firstly, God chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Secondly, God predestined, God determined in advance for us to be adopted as his sons and daughters. Magnificent blessing number two. Magnificent number three, God has redeemed us. He set us free from the slavery of sin through Christ's blood. Number four, God's forgiven us our sins through Christ's blood. God has made known to us the mystery of his will to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Christ. Paul does a lot of meditating on that theme while he's in prison. God, number six, God chose us to live for the praise of his glory. Number seven, God included us in Christ when we heard of the truth, the gospel of our salvation. And number eight, God marked us with a seal when we believed. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, our future salvation. God reminded the Apostle Paul of these spiritual blessings. He needed to be reminded of them. He was in prison. He was prone, like all of us, to be discouraged. We need encouragement. God, the Holy Spirit, reminded him of these spiritual blessings to encourage and strengthen him in his faith. And Paul, in turn, recorded these spiritual blessings in his letter to the Ephesian believers to encourage, to strengthen them. And we have it before us. And God wants to encourage and strengthen us. What wonderful verses for us to meditate often on as believers. These eight spiritual blessings that we have, and even to commit it to memory. And being reminded of these spiritual blessings and reflecting on them, the Holy Spirit stirs Paul to praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And God's desire is that through our being reminded of these spiritual blessings we have in Christ, through reading Paul's letter, we, like the Ephesian believers and like Paul, will be stirred to express praise to God. Well, I'm going to do something a little bit radical this morning. As Paul paused in his letter several times to pray, we're going to pause in the middle of this sermon just for a few moments. We've been listening to these spiritual blessings. We've been reminded of them. And I want to give you this opportunity. It may be in the quietness of your heart that all you're able to do, but if you're able to just express a thanksgiving for these blessings, spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul put his pen down three times. And we need to interrupt our lives, and to, particularly when we're reading God's word, and he's reminding us of wonderful truths, blessings which are ours, to give him. Give him the thanks and the praise while we remember, while we're stirred to do that. So let's just pause for a few moments. And I want to give you that opportunity in the quietness of your heart to lift up praise to God. Paul did it in a prison cell. I trust sitting in church is far more luxurious, comfortable setting, but this is supposed to be a house of prayer. So that was the motivation. One of Paul's motivations to prayer was the Word of God. The Word of God gave and stirred that motivation to pray. And in particular, the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus that stirred his heart, encouraged him to pray for the Ephesian believers. But that wasn't the only reason that he was stirred to pray for the believers in Ephesus. He did so to ground their Christian experience on a surer foundation. That was why he prayed for these believers in Ephesus. The Ephesian believers were on the crest of the wave spiritually. Their faith in Christ, their love for all the saints were the talk of all the churches in the area, and I'm sure with the talk of Ephesus, where they lived as well. And news of their spiritual life and vitality had even reached Paul in prison, 832 miles away in Rome. And Paul responded by thanking God for them, thanking God for what he had been doing in and through them. However, as Paul knew from personal experience, success can very easily go to our heads. There's a very real danger that pride can lead to pride and boasting and complacency and self-reliance, which can hinder, which can abort success, spiritual progress that we experience in our lives. And knowing from experience, that can be the case. Paul reminds the Ephesian believers and us that the source of the spiritual fruit in our lives, the source of our salvation, it's attributed to God's grace at work in our lives. I wonder how aware we are of that in our experience. And that fact is indicated by Paul's continual giving of thanks, not to the Ephesians, but continually giving of thanks to God for the spiritual fruit evident in their lives. Ever since I heard about your faith and love, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. God and his work of salvation and his grace in their hearts was the true source of the spiritual fruit that was being manifested in their lives. And Paul expresses that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. The faith, not something that you've worked up. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And yes, we have an important part to play in the working out of our salvation, but we work out what God has worked in by his grace and his power through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He is the sure foundation. He's the only sure foundation in our Christian experience. And the fruitful, successful Ephesian believers, they needed to know that. They needed to be reminded of that. It's not that they are so wonderful spiritual Christians that they are exuding this faith and love. It's God's working in them and through them, rooted in God's saving work and His grace at work in their lives. They needed to know that. And so do churches who are not successful and not fruitful. Need to be reminded of the strength of the foundation that we're built on as believers. And as we place our full weight upon God and His Word and keep in step with His Spirit, God can enable us to bear fruit, fruit to His praise and to His glory. Paul not only reminds the Ephesian believers of their surer foundation, he prays for them, remembering you in my prayers. Reminding us again that prayer is foundational to all that we are and do as believers or communities of believers. Let's make prayer foundational through growing in prayer together. And in 2 weeks' time, next week, is the cluster exchange. We're going to look at that prayer. It's just the background, the reasons, what motivated Paul to pray this morning. This morning we've learned what strengthens the prayer life of a church. It's the bond that we share. And if that bond is weak, then we need to pray and we need to act, we need to work so that bond can be strengthened. It's the Word of God. We need our lives to be rooted in God's Word. And each day, following George Mueller's example, God's Word is living and active. And it can lead us and guide us and strengthen us. And we can see wonderful answers to prayer as we stand on that Word and the God of the Word. The prayer life is strengthened through being reminded of our spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I encourage you to reflect on them, memorize them, so that it becomes living in us, so that when we have these impromptu praying times, once we've got over the little bit of the nervousness and the bit of the shock, we've got something to say, something to give God thanks for, because we're living in the good of God's spiritual blessings to us. And then lastly, being grounded. Our prayer life grows as we're grounded in the right foundation. It's not ourselves or anyone else, other human being. It's God and His grace and what He's done and what He's promised to do. That's our confidence. That's our foundation. We're grounded in God's grace at work in our lives.